next item on the agenda would be Mary Hill and Malibu.
Good afternoon. Feel fortunate the commissioner stepped out. I won't get a zinger sent at me like Hank and Jay did.
Maybe. Oh, no, you might.
Maybe you can. This is an application for Murray Hill and Marie Hill jointly for orchard planting ground in Chuckatuck Creek. The original application was for approximately 160 acres within the creek. The application extending both sides of the creek above and below the Route 17 bridge and is located in both Olivet County and the city of Suffolk. It has been protested by a nearby orchard ground leaseholder, Mr. Robert Johnson. This project was deferred from the May meeting. The applicant requested a deferral to seek reobtain legal counsel. They indicated that their legal counsel, I think, was appointed as a judge, and they were going to seek new legal counsel. At that time, the commission did grant a two-month deferral with the condition that it would be heard this month and there would be no further extensions. We received the application for 160 acres in Chuckatuck Creek on November the 1st of 2006. Again, the ground is located both within the city of Suffolk and Olivet County. At the time of the application, the applicant was informed. Our draftsman took the application and helped the applicant fill it out, and this was the map that was created to depict the actual application. The applicant was informed that we could not lease underneath the Chuckatuck Creek Bridge, which is located here, Route 17. This is Chuckatuck Creek. This is Batten's Bay, James River off to the east. I believe the draftsman also informed them that this narrow connection here might not be leasable, but that we would allow the applicant to apply for the entire area under one application, which was an advantage to the applicant because otherwise we would either had to have had an application here, a separate application here, and potentially a separate application here, which would have involved three application fees, eventually three advertising fees, three survey fees, and three recording and assignment fees for each separate parcel. After a number of attempts by the engineering surveying surveyor to have the applicant obtain stakes necessary to survey this particular application, we did send a letter to the applicant in November of 2007 requesting stakes for both this application and other pending applications by the same applicant, Ms. Hill. This letter did result in stakes being provided for some of the other pending applications, which were subsequently surveyed over the next several months. That was in 07. Again, in 08, we again wrote the applicant because we were again having some issues with getting stakes to survey this ground, and as you can see, it involves quite a few corners. We eventually did get the stakes, and the ground was surveyed in October of 2008. Soon thereafter, we did receive a protest from Mr. Robert Johnson objecting. His protest initially was to leasing of this area and potentially any leasing of this narrow connection here. Mr. Johnson does have a lease right here. Mr. Johnson is affiliated to some degree with Hazelwood, who also has a lease here. These two leases on either side of this connection are in the name of Dixon and Hood, and they're both in the same name. But there is a gap between them. And that's a remnant of when those were surveyed years ago, and exactly why there's a gap left, it's unclear to me, but there is a gap. By letter dated November 6th of 2008, we did notify the applicants that the ground had been surveyed in the field, and we provided a map with the final configuration as surveyed. It was noted that due to narrow connections at two locations, it was staff's position that those areas not be leased, as well as the VDOT right-of-way below and next to the bridge. This resulted in the area being divided into five separate parcels, which would require a separate plat. We do charge, when we take an application like this, and it eventually has to be split because of the bridge or some other reason, we charge one survey fee, and that includes one plat. And then any additional parcels that have to be created that are not contiguous, we charge an additional plat fee, which is $100. So this would have resulted in survey fee and one plat included and four additional $400 charges. Based on that correspondence with the applicant, we did receive a phone call from Ms. Murray Hill in which she questioned why the areas had to be split into separate parcels and therefore requiring the additional plat fees. We did respond to this objection in a letter dated December 2nd, 2008. We did indicate that one of the narrow connections, this area right here, we felt we could connect because there were two large parcels on either side of it, and you could work both of these. Obviously, you probably couldn't work that one little spot, but that we were not inclined to lease this long, narrow area, that we try to stay away from long spaghetti-type leases like this, and that this would be very difficult to enforce from a law enforcement perspective. You certainly cannot dredge this area because of the circular motion a dredge boat's got to take. This is 35 feet wide right here. Even tonguing it would be difficult in the typical dead rise oyster boat, which has a 13 to 16 foot beam. With someone standing on the side, tonguing over the side, you're at 20 feet then. So the boat would have to be positioned perfectly here in this area. And again, it would be difficult for law enforcement to tell whether the boat was actually on this ground or on the adjoining ground. So what we offered back to the applicant at that point was that we would allow this connection, since it was not really a long, narrow strip, it was just one little connection here. You could certainly work this, you could certainly work this area. And that potentially we would recommend approval of this, which was protested, but we would not recommend leasing this connection. The result of this would be that it would be four areas instead of five, as we initially proposed after it was surveyed, and that this area would be left vacant. And that probably the only person we would lease this to would be Dixon and Hood if they applied, and then we still wouldn't lease it as an individual parcel. We would incorporate it into either one of these leases and resurvey the parcel as one contiguous parcel. Ms. Hill has not agreed to that condition. The protestant has agreed that if you accept staff's recommendation not to lease this, that he will drop his protest of Area 4. Ms. Hill was informed of that fact too, and I still believe she wants to address the leasing of this area. Bottom line, this would result in one survey fee of $510, which would include one of our parcels, let's say in Area 1, an additional plat fee for Area 2, which would be $100, additional plat fee for Area 3 and 4, so an additional $300. However, if we'd accepted this application based on at least three areas and maybe four initially, there would have been four $510 survey fees and four advertising. Advertising fees range anywhere from $100 to $300 or $500, depending on the newspaper. So in essence, the way we accepted this really saved the applicant money in the long run, we believe, or will save the applicant money in the long run. Again, the summary and recommendation, while we routinely allow applications to include areas that may end up not being in one contiguous parcel, it is the department policy to require a separate plat for each lease parcel. We have no way to build it otherwise if we don't have it in an individual parcel. Therefore, due to the bridge right-of-way at Tuck Creek, some private piers along the shoreline, which is what cut her off from being connected here. There's piers you can see here. These come right out to this lease. And when we went out to actually survey it, we realized that there wasn't enough room to get around this lease inshore without going under the pier, and we don't lease under private piers unless you are the applicant. It's your property, and you're getting a lease next to your property. So that cut off these pieces from being connected, and this is the configuration we ended up with. We also believe that narrow strip would create a law enforcement issue. I have spoken to law enforcement, and I believe they're willing to testify that they agree that this is a problem to lease a small area like that. I think the summary and recommendation, I won't read the rest of it. I've gone over the fees, and that's staff's recommendation.
Okay. Does any commission member have any questions?
I believe Ms. Hill, both the Hills are here.
Okay. Is the applicant present?
Yes, sir.
Would you like to speak?
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Well.
would you raise your right hand? You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Can you state your name?
Mary Hill. Good afternoon. Am I permitted to use the overpass protection?
I'm not sure how to do that.
Good afternoon. I'd like to thank all of the commissioners for allowing me the extension to attempt to seek counsel. I did have a representative. Unfortunately, he has taken on as judgeship in the city of Portsmouth. But unfortunately, I was still unsuccessful in retaining counsel due to some financial challenges. So I'm going to attempt to plead my case to you and hope that you have mercy.
I'm sure you'll do a good job.
Thank you. I submitted application for the lease in question on November the 1st of 2006. And the description of the application does not reference, it references, you know, when I applied, it was 160 acres. And the description of the application does not reference but only one oyster ground lease for Keelan, which is on the description of this. Which is 13640. And and if you look at the plat, and I was really excited about, you know, applying for the oyster grounds because I felt that I could now be a part of what was my family's legacy and my heritage, and most of all, my father and the people in my village, which is the Hobson Village, who was and still is today very passionate about the oysters, particularly the native oysters, and which was our industry that made us totally self-sufficient and independent, living off of the river. And now that we found that the oysters are back, even though my father has passed away and many of our elders who provided for us, I felt that I could still contribute. As you can see right here, there is no leak right above here. And I will show you later as far as the particular plat file that I received subsequently when this protest was made. And even though I was told initially to secure 73, I was told by Rob Butler to secure 73 corners for this application, and as you can see again, there is no lease right above this grounds here. And I was told to acquire 24 stakes, and I then later was notified that I needed to acquire 100 stakes, which I was successful in doing. My uncle and I, we went out, you know, in the woods, and he stayed all day cutting bamboo. We cut 100 stakes. So as far as these particular maps of these plats that were given to me by Rob Butler, showing the number of stakes that I was supposed to acquire, I guess my point is that there is no plat file above here that would constitute why there should be a separate parcel. I even got to purchase a larger map to show the boundary so that I could show my family. And so with that, I was later told, as I indicated, to secure 100 stakes. And at that time, I was never told prior, during, or after securing the stakes as well as delivering the stakes that that there was going to be a problem. I was told the reason why Robert Johnson was protesting is because it took me too long to have the ground surveyed, and that he wanted it for himself. So, which I didn't feel was right. And so with Robert Johnson protesting the entire application initially, now he's only protesting or was protesting the connection of Dixon Hood parcel, which is over here. And what I don't understand is that as far as the other Oyster Ground leases that are just as small as what someone is, you know, what is attempting to be annexed from the entire parcel that I've applied for, you know, there is encroachment on other Oyster Ground leases. And I was explained that that this was too narrow and too small. But I also spoke with Rob Butler on yesterday, and I inquired about the Code of Virginia as it relates to applying for Oyster Ground lease. And it was referenced, and I went online to secure a copy of the Code of Virginia 28.2-609, which indicates no assignment except in the Chesapeake Bay shall exceed 250 acres. An applicant, after having 250 acres, generally oyster planting ground assigned to him, shall not apply for another assignment or oyster ground months from the day his assignment was recorded and completed. If an assignment is not made within, after the expiration of the notice, the application shall, upon the expiration of 6 months, lapse and become, unless the commissioner allows an extension. And I guess what I'm saying is that, and this is what he had indicated to me, that you can apply for zero up to 250 acres. That's the maximum. And he had even indicated that he has surveyed even a quarter of an acre of oyster ground. And even, you know, as I was looking at some of the, even with my mother's plat, to talk about encroachment, right here there's a narrow oyster ground lease to Howell and Bagnall, which Newman on both sides encroaches. And that's a very small and narrow plat. And I just believe that, you know, the purpose of having your oyster ground surveyed and staked prevents you from encroaching or knowing whose grounds belong to whom. And I would like to say that, you know, according to the November 6, 2008 letter that I had received from Mr. Stagg, which indicated that I would be charged for four parcels because of the lack of connection. Now, once I received this in the mail, and mind you, I had showed you the earlier plat that was given to me when I applied for the Orchard Grove lease. It did not show a plat being leased to anyone up in this area. So now there's a plat being leased to someone in this area when I received the letter from him on November the 6th, which will create, for from his letter, another parcel that I would be assessed. And that plat file 11909 did not show up, as I said, until this letter. And I was never told that I would have to pay for four parcels based on one application for the Orchard Ground lease when I initially applied for it. I also would like to show where others have not been deprived of this, their entire Orchard Ground lease, based on what Mr. Stagg has indicated. And I spoke with someone at VDOT this morning, Sonny Perry, and he also sent me a copy of the plat for the Chuckatuck Creek bridge. And in terms of the VDOT right-of-way, which he informed me that the VDOT right-of-way basically stops at the shoreline, and that basically what this is, as far as the bridge, is an easement to allow them to build over or cross the shoreline or cross the water. And this plat right here shows even one of an applicant, Mr. Parker, and this is actually the King's Highway Bridge, but his plat file, you know, extends under that bridge, but it's no longer there, but when it was there, his Orchard Ground lease did extend underneath that bridge. But I, as I indicated, and I have a plat here from VDOT that indicates that basically they have an easement, but there are property lines that extend underneath the bridge. According to Mr. Stagg's December the 2nd, 2008 letter, he indicated that staff still recommends not leasing the long and narrow connection between the area currently under protest by Robert Johnson and the West. He further states that working this area means it would be extremely difficult without encroaching on other leased ground immediately adjacent to this area, but that the northwesternmost parcel can be connected to one of these areas without creating a area that is not workable. And I just wanted to emphasize that, is that not encroaching? If he is going to allow me to still or add this particular piece here that was protested against, and recommend it being leased to me, but I just don't understand, you know, encroaching. That's still encroachment. I mean, as far as it being adjacent to someone else's Orchard Ground. And I just don't know of any other Orchard leases that are not adjacent to another applicant's Orchard Ground lease. It is my understanding that this is the sole purpose, as I, you know, indicated. Orchard Ground leases are surveyed and staked, so there would be no confusion as to who grounds belong to whom. And as far as Mr. Stagg, the letter that I received from him on February the 11th, I was told that Mr. Johnson would drop the protest if I agreed to not pursue a part of my application at the Dixon and Hood parcel. And no one wanted these grounds until I applied for it. It sat there for decades without anyone applying for it. And my reason for doing that is because of my father's grounds that sit right here. And we just basically wanted to expand what we already had because we knew of the resurrection of the oyster industry. And so, you know, I now that I've applied, there is a protest. And I did not want to say what I have been thinking because I've always been taught that I am my brother's keeper. But unfortunately, it seems like one size does not fit all. And I'm being deprived of this oyster ground lease because I feel that I'm a black or African American and I'm a female. What else could it be? Look at some of the oyster ground leases that are adjacent to each other. How can one not encroach on another? And I pray that you find justice in my plea, and I pray that you will grant me this entire 160 acres of ground lease without it being chopped up into parcels and causing me more expense than what I've already incurred. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Thank you. Is there anyone else who would speak in favor of this? Is there any opposition?
I believe my mother wanted to say something.
Oh, I'm sorry. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
You state your name.
My name is Marie Hill.
Okay, Lucille. Go ahead and tell us what you have to say.
My name is Marie Hill. I live on 8316 Crittenden Road in the northern part of Suffolk. And I'm here to petition acres of oyster ground, which my daughter wants to purchase. In 1999, my husband passed. And he also had purchased acres of oyster ground before he passed. So after he passed, Mary was in VCU anniversary, and she came on home to look out for me, which my husband asked. And also, he also gave all of his oyster ground papers and whatnot to Mary for to take care of, which she did. And I also wish to say that they always told me to get a mouthpiece. But I said to myself, I'm taking the master along with me, let him see for me. And this is what I'm doing. I am asking you, I know that you are God-fearing people, and you will decide just what to do and what to not to do. Because livable of keeping our families together was a horseman. And then we always depend on Austin for a good living. But after the coupon came along and destroyed all the Austin, and they gave up the Austin ground, the wind had to go out and seek other places to take care of the family. And so you wouldn't know, but in the olden days, how the oystermen would go out in the river and the cold and snow and ice, and they would have to have hot pots, you know, the hot pots to make a fire to keep them warm and whatnot before she come in to bring in the oysters. So I am also acting because we always, my husband also said that the usher is coming back, and that is why he suggested that Mary would take care of all of the acres of usher ground. So I'm saying to you today, you know, that you would do the right thing. And also that God is always in his blessing business, that he will bless you and keep you, keep it up.
Thank you, Ms. Hilton.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Last before the commission.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have two questions for Ben, if I may. Ben, you commented earlier on that, what you described, I guess, as a spaghetti strip, a very narrow strip that connects out there to the east area of the board. Can you repeat for us what the approximate dimensions of that were?
It's about 35 feet wide. And it's about 3/10 of an acre is what it is, that little narrow strip.
And it's the fact that it's 35 feet wide is what precludes it from being large enough to lease, and that it would be difficult to enforce from a law enforcement standpoint. Was that the primary reason?
Now, primarily, yes.
Okay. And then one other question on the need to separate Area 3 from Area 2. There's a lease, as I understand it, that separates those two parcels, and that is number 11909, identified here with the name of Keeling. Is that the only reason for having to separate Area 2 from Area 3?
That is. And let me clarify that. Unfortunately, I have to admit that we did make a mistake when she applied. As you can see here, that lease is not shown. In fact, this is the map that she saw when she applied. What happened with that lease was Mr. Keeling, as you know, all leases have 10-year renewal, and he was sent a 10-year renewal form to renew the lease for use, and he did not return. And we wrote him informing him that the ground would be reverted because of non-use, because he didn't send the form back at all. And in the interim between him calling me, realizing that he had not sent the form back, we removed it from the map as if it had reverted. But he did provide the form, and it didn't get put back on the map anymore. It was a drafting error. You know, I'll take responsibility for that. So it was not shown when she came in, But that all happened the year before she applied. So the ground was still active. He was still paying rent on it. And it was really a matter. We didn't really discover until further down the process when we were preparing the survey. Unfortunately, that did sever being able to connect this area to this area. She got cut off this way because of a pier along the shoreline where we could have connected it this way, and she got cut off from these two pieces being connected because of that lease, which was clearly not shown when she applied. So that is the reason that that happened. Or else we could have connected areas 3 and 2 together. Save one platform.
So to follow up, the lease was valid. It simply wasn't accurately reflected on the map.
It was on the map. It was still in the database, and he was paying taxes, but it got inadvertently taken off the map. It did get put back on. But and if I could, I'd address one or two other issues that she raised about the VDOT. This is the Route 17 bridge. Whether you want to call it an easement or a right-of-way, this is the area that VDOT maintains that they need to maintenance the bridge. We have historically never leased inside their right-of-ways. The unique situation with the King's Highway Bridge, and the map she showed you, is that lease did not go under the bridge. It did go right up to the King's Highway Bridge. But it was leased about 70 years ago before we really granted any kind of easements next to bridges for any right-of-ways. And that was, King's Highway is the last bridge in the James River system. That was the narrow two-lane bridge. There really was very little right-of-way associated with any of them when they were built originally. They had all been replaced over the years, including the Chuck-Tuck Creek Bridge, the Nansemond River Bridge, and the James River Bridge. With new bridges, VDOT did obtain right-of-way when they rebuilt those and widened them, actually condemned some oyster ground and took it and paid the people for it to increase that area. It was never done with the King's Highway Bridge because that was the original bridge. Obviously, you remember the King's Highway Bridge has now been removed. That lease is still active. It goes up right up to the footprint of where the bridge had been. But we historically don't, in modern times, lease under the right-of-way of bridges. And I will correct one thing. In the application, and you have it in your packet, it's the horse-to-ground application, it's item 2. If you note the last line where it says west by, it does say that it excludes some leases which were donuts inside of this application. One of them is actually Ms. Hill's lease, this one. Some of these leases that are completely encompassed by her application, the application notes that they're excluded because they were already leased. And the last sentence is, and the Route 17 bridge right-of-way. So we clearly indicated in the application that we were not going to lease the right-of-way. Get back to the narrow strip, I think staff stands by it. She's going to get approximately 140-some acres as surveyed, if you're 560, which is plus or minus, that's the closest we can come. And in the grand scheme of things, not leasing 3/10 of an acre, which law enforcement has said will be an enforcement issue, still get 140-plus acres. There will be some plat fees, but we could have required, separate application fees for these. The protestant really only originally protested Area 4 and the connection. Mr. Johnson did indicate he was frustrated with the fact that this ground was applied for in 2006 and it was taking so long to have it surveyed. Ms. Hill did have a number of applications and we were trying to work with her to get them done. And we did get the previous one surveyed and it did take a while to get this one surveyed. He never indicated that he really objected to any of areas 1, 2, or 3. He did indicate he would like to have been able to apply for 4, but he told me he wasn't first in line. Ms. Hill was first in line, and he certainly could accept leasing that to her, but he was still opposed to this narrow strip being leased, just because of the problems it might cause with the other leases. The other narrow lease you saw at the Nansemond River Bridge is much larger. Narrow. It's probably a 3 or 4 acre lease that she showed you. It looked sort of long and narrow like this, but it's much wider than this.
Any more questions?
Just a comment. I think it's admirable that anyone wants to go into the oyster business, given the. I hope oysters are coming back, but certainly in recent years has not been a great success. So I think you'd be commended for wanting to take up this ground and attempt to grow oysters here. I think that Mr. Stagg has made accommodations and has explained that really the fees, breaking it into four parcels, will be less than the fees would have been if it had been one contiguous parcel. And I don't think it's a great loss to lose the little piece of spaghetti that would be impossible for law enforcement to enforce anyway. And so I think getting 140 some acres of oyster ground is a very good thing, and I would move that we accept staff's recommendation and allow it to be in the four parcels. I also will point out on the side that here we are leasing these bottoms that belong to the Commonwealth of Virginia, and we are the representatives of the Commonwealth of Virginia at this, and the Commonwealth of Virginia has the right to lease anything it wants to lease or not lease anything it wants not to lease. And so I guess in this situation we don't want to lease that narrow spot, and that is the landowner, that's our prerogative.
Second,
I made the motion.
It's the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Robbins.
Everybody sure the motion. All in favor, signify by saying
aye.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The applicant's family's history clearly figures very prominently in the local Hobson community and is a very significant, I think, contribution there to the local community. And I applaud her trying to carry on that heritage. I think staff, though, has done a good job of addressing the details here. I think the reason for not allowing that small spaghetti strip across the other leases is a very practical matter, contrary to the assertions that were suggested otherwise by the applicant. So I think staff has accurately addressed those as being practical law enforcement concerns that would include the leasing of that small strip. And obviously the other lease was simply a drafting error. The lease was in effect. So I'm supportive of staff's recommendation.
Do you have something you want to say?
Yes, may I come up? What I wanted to say is that with still the piece where he indicated Killen shows wasn't on reference on the map, the plat file. I requested that file under the FOIA, and according to that file, it showed that the original plat number was 11909. But when Mr. Ben Stagg indicated, and it's according to his letter dated December the 10th, 2004, that there was some confusion as far as Mr. Killen responding to the renewal, which the renewal was October 1 of 2003. And he responded again in August of 2004. But Mr. Ben Stagg's letter indicates that the plat file would be reinstated and reverted to a new number, which was 17079. But if you look at this plat file, that still shows the same number of 11909. And according to the records, you know, from the last date that the rent was paid, it was October 8th of 2003. And I would like to, you know, ask for further inquiry with VDOT as it relates to as far as their right-of-way as it extends underneath the bridge, because from what I was informed by Sonny Perry, who works for VDOT in Suffolk on Main Street, he informed me that that area, and he pulled up the plat, and he actually emailed it to Rob Butler to give to me, basically shows an easement, not a right-of-way, and that their right-of-way stops at the shoreline.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
There's a motion and a second.
The number she referenced was the lease number. Whenever a lease is reinstated, it gets a new lease number. The plat file number stays the same.
Thank you.
So it's still 11909.
Thank you. There's a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Unanimous. Next.